TuneIn Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Thursday, the 4th of February, 2021. We are in the 20s, the decade of this millennium, the 20s, the roaring 20s. And we are also in the seventh year of the International Decade of People of African Descent, which when we look right down to it is all peoples on the planet, because we all come from one central place. But more importantly, it is a Black History Month. And, you know, I'm half excited, not as excited as knowing it was Juju Month. Like, not as excited as I was knowing the Juju stretch all the way into February this year. And it looked like mangoes can stretch all the way into October this year. That's exciting news. So before I get to the show, and I hope you know we're talking about Black History Month today, I got some housekeeping to do. First of all, I would like to confirm my guest, Mr. Leslie Mintz from Tuesday's show, confirmed with me that Kamala Mitri is a snake deterrent. And then I did some further research and determined it gets even better. The tree, the bark, the leaf, the whole tree is used in some cultures as a treatment for migraines and as a treatment for menstrual cramps. Right, look here, plenty things around us.
That's crazy how we use it for fertility and things like that, and they use it for menstrual cramps.
Oh, wait. Okay, so hold on. First of all, my guest today is Mr. Christopher Davies, and as you could see, he is a magical Negro. Not in the sense that they coined it as, right. In the sense as I coined it as, right? That we are all magical,
right?
It's my friend, my colleague, fellow advocate, Christopher Davies. Christopher, define yourself. Because if I try to define you, people will think I'm joking.
Come on. Pan-African and African internationalist, whatever you want to call it. I am a historical researcher and historical interpreter. And my day job, I work at the Pompey Museum. But I also do my other things, you know, on the side. My extra research and several projects that I have in the motions that I hope to release by the end of this year.
Awesome. See, this boy, just tell me, not only is it used for maybe womb conditioning and menstrual cramps, it's used for fertility and womb conditioning, right?
Right.
All the same thing, all in the same family.
Right.
Look here, that's the magic of the planet around us. And if you remember tomato economics by Bahamian professor at the University of the Bahamas, Olivia Sanders, Dr. Olivia Sanders, it talks about shifting our mindset from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset, right? And so here I am telling you about this thing and how many other uses it has, and my boy just add another use on the vibe, right? Because once you shift your perspective.
You know who teach me that, right?
Who teach you that?
Tony McKay, he teach everybody that. Take that Kamala meat and you make her some tea and she will love you all the time. I mix Zuma to Obi Amai.
That's what that meant.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Because it ain't, see, because we, you'd think it was something rude, but it ain't something rude.
Yeah.
It's something, right? It's the different meaning of sex and intimacy.
Right.
Right? It's not about preparing her body for my pleasure.
No.
It's ensuring that her body is at its optimum for her pleasure. And once she feel the fullness of herself and her power, she can love you forever.
Oh, yeah.
And dear man, I think that's a lesson approaching Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing that was common throughout African culture, you know, Africans are not a monolithic people, but one thing that's common throughout the continent is their reverence and respect for women. You can look at all their religious and spiritual systems. It's always a woman right there. You know, they don't have a Holy Trinity without the woman.
Yeah.
And then when you look at people, different sections, the Akan, you have people like Anansi and stuff where the chief deity in their spiritual system is actually female. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't have the same hang-ups as we do now, and we had a completely different view of sex in many incidences and in many cases. You know, so if you look at explorers like Ibn Battuta, you could actually look at his Wikipedia page, see what he wrote about traveling through Africa mm-hmm. in the 11th century. And one thing he said, traveling from pretty much Morocco almost down to the Niger Delta region, he didn't see one prostitute. he actually ridiculed the Khan society for giving women too much power in their communities. The same ones give reverence to Anansi, uh-huh. who actually in the Bahamas, uh-huh. in the story that we know as Aunt Nancy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah. So any of y'all, especially the older folks who know about Aunt Nancy, that was a way that we disguised the commemoration of the African goddess Anansi. Just hiding it from the slave master, so to speak.
Man, look here, that's 14 shows right there. Let me finish this housekeeping, man.
Because
I want to talk about today, after yesterday's show, right? A bit of we had a great interview with the immunization team from the Ministry of Health. Yeah. So if you are concerned about your child's immunization schedule, get in touch with your clinic for the details about how you can get them back on schedule. And then I touched on a couple of political issues, right? And so I don't want people to think I just see the bad in everybody. I want to do a little housekeeping. So I want to note that Water and Sewerage, who is conducting road works on the Eastern Foreshore, was out there yesterday, and they had a traffic management team. They had a team out there, which they are required to do by policy, to ensure that there's a safe and efficient movement of traffic through the vibe, and it was great. And I want to say to them, look here, that's a great, great job y'all did. Yeah. Also, I want to remind you again, please select a committee to assess whether seismic activity in the region is impacting your equipment, particularly in the coastal areas, and causing damage that is causing all of these leaks everywhere. Also, maybe you need to not cold patch these spots. Maybe the quality of cold patch is not sufficient to protect the integrity of your infrastructure, particularly if you're cold patching right before or right after the rain. I mean, it could be as simple as that, you know, but let's put a team on it. Also, yesterday somebody called in and asked when would the Ministry of Health get its records digitized to ensure the smooth transfer of information, particularly in a country with an archipelagic exterior where people are always moving back and forth, right? And I am pleased to announce, as if it is my own business, because technically it is, because the government worked for me, that the government, well, the various government agencies are initiating several digitization services or platforms. In particular, there is the My Pilot Services program, which I think will initially allow you to apply for your driver's license online, to apply for things like...
It's about time.
...birth certificate. Yeah. No, it's not about time. Some of y'all need to go into an office and have somebody look you in your eye before they give you a new driver's license. Because there's only one way to tell crazy, right? Because some of y'all know the rules, you know. The test ain't enough. Some of y'all know the rules, and you know the potential consequences of your actions. And still... You go out there and you do foolishness. The only way to detect that is to look in somebody's eyes and ask them the correct questions, right? Like a question like, if you had 7 mangoes and your mummy walk into the room and now you only have 1 mango, what you could do, right? When I look in your eye and you try and answer that question, because you can't cuss your mummy for taking your mangoes.
No.
Right? And I can know if you're crazy
or not.
You
wouldn't be eating mango if it wasn't for her.
Boy, look here. You're a mummy's rights advocate for real, eh?
Yeah.
Man, anyway. So I wanted to put out there. Also, I note that in today's paper, the former attorney general references a program announced by the judiciary called the Integrated Court Management Systems, right? And I'm hoping that that digitization platform also creates an environment that benefits the average Bahamian who has to move through the court system, because we act like the onus is on the person who have to move through the broken court system.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like you got the whole power of the nation against you, but the onus is on you to manage the inefficiencies and the dysfunction of these systems.
Oh, yeah.
So I am glad, and I'd like to invite members or the agencies themselves to inquire about using this space, right? Using the show as a space to talk about these services and disseminate this information. Because what we aim to do is to create a better living environment for Bahamians by helping them make better decisions for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, man. Sure. Not telling them what to do or how to do it.
And that's a problem that long been plaguing us, you know, the backup in the court system, just getting expedient justice on the whole.
Yeah.
Been kind of something we've been struggling with since the 1700s.
Right. And you know, an indicator of it is when you see people in your country pleading guilty for matters that they know that they're not guilty of, right? Where the magistrate have to say, boss, if you ain't guilty, don't plead guilty. Right. And the defendant will say, miss, I'd rather pay this fine than get caught up in this dysfunctional, heinous, inhumane judicial system. I'd rather just pay the fine, have it on my record, and figure out what to do next with my life. And that means that your justice system has failed. It is broken. If innocent men would rather plead guilty than right. deal with your system. But anyway, let me get back to this because I got a little more fire.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's Black History Month, and a lot of Bahamians celebrate Black History Month. And I understand this because, like many of them, I also have lots of American family and family, Bahamian family in America.
Yeah.
Right? Like the history of, like my grandfather, some of the brothers went further north and he stayed, and they asked him, why you stay? And he said, because I fit right in. I look like these people. I don't, you know, maybe he's a little darker than them. I don't need to go no further. Right? But what concerns me is that the same Bahamians who celebrate Black History Month, like they are Americans, rarely pay little attention to Bahamian, Caribbean, and African history, right?
Right.
But the truth is, Bahamian history is Caribbean history, is African history, is world history. And Bahamian history is American history too, right? So from religion to arts and culture and music to sports and education and politics, even to national development, Bahamians have and continue to contribute to the rich tapestry that is the United States of America. And let me tell you something, hip-hop would not be what it is, right? Not just with the contribution of a boy like Joseph Spence or Blind Blake, who I swear, like I ain't got no money, but I swear Blind Blake wrote the first gangster rap song live. Ain't nobody could tell me different. Or at least it's first published, right?
Right.
And so that being said, I don't know how I feel about Black History Month, especially after Joe Biden basically said to African Americans, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
But see, that's how you get to be president of the USA.
Exactly. You know?
You guys say bold things. Second, you guys say bold things like that. And even though it's far less crude than his predecessor's regular contributions, it's a tremendously bold thing to say. But I was in shock. Because white people, some of Biden's ancestors probably, created blackness. They created it. It belonged to them.
Yeah.
Right? They created the construct of race. And a group of Europeans used this construct to create a hierarchy that privileged them over other peoples. And even other Europeans, right?
Yep.
They identified as white and they identified everyone else as black.
Right.
And so we get to the Bahamas. And maybe, right, like, boy, looky, I hope that ain't a race police calling, because it's about to get hot, right? We get to the Bahamas, and although the term Conky Joe is thought by some to be a slur created by black Bahamians to denigrate mixed race Bahamians, it is actually a term coined by loyalists to privilege themselves over the descendants of a Lutheran adventurers they met here. Now, you could correct me if I'm wrong. They may have not been the descendants of Lutheran adventurers, but maybe, right? But I think they are.
Generally, for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why Black History Month? Why don't we say African History Month anymore? Because I think it's more useful to talk about ancestry versus race anyway.
Right.
Right? I think it's more...
Yeah, because race is a social construct. There's no biological foundation for it. Right. You understand race, you know, and especially after the period of social Darwinism, that's when it was really locked in, which was actually post-slavery and which actually came out of Victorian England. And it's quite strange that the myth still exists there that Queen Victoria freed the slaves, even though she was coronated 4 or 5 years after the decision was passed in British Parliament. You understand? But yeah. It's very perplexing and race, you know, and in the Bahamas, we have this very unique sense of race. I always hear people talking, but we have 15-20% white people when you can't find any data anywhere that says that.
Right. But see, here's this thing about constructs and race, right? Like It's like constructs and gender, right? Watch this. If the mixed race person want to identify there as white, we don't really have the right to tell them that they can't identify as white. Because you see, race is mutable. Like Dr. Davies, but I call him Dr. Davies, like my brethren Davies say, it is mutable. It changes over culture, over time, and over geography.
Well, to that, I will say this. I'll target two people, one who went to America and one who went to England. Both of them are Bahamians. Both of them would have, if they wanted to, been considered white in the Bahamas. So one is a man named Edward Cerruti Burton. Okay, and he moved to the United States when he was a very young man, went to college and all these things. He became a lawyer, but essentially he became a big proponent and member of the NAACP, working very closely with his most well-known prominent members, right? And then you have another man, his name was actually Allen Glazier Mintz. He is another man who was white. His grandmother was actually a Congolese princess who rescued a man named John Mintz by tying him to a mattress and swimming him 2 miles into shore. He ended up, quote unquote, buying her as a slave, and at some point, they ended up getting married and had about 13 children. So all the Mintzes in the Bahamas descend only here because that Congolese woman save that man John Mintz's life.
Look here, hold on. Shout out Leslie Mintz, hopefully my agricultural expert, and shout out Charlotte Henney.
Yeah, right? Charlotte because Henney, the part of this I was just about to mention
it. Yeah, go on.
So I saw it fleetingly a little bit, and one day I just happened to buckle in I think it was Balcony House where we met at first, and she's actually a descendant of the same people that we're talking about.
Now,
I'm not sure if she's still there, but I know she's a professor at, I think it's York.
Yeah, in Toronto. Right. And we're not going to use her story, right? Because that's personal. Yeah. But at the same time, it's an example of how race and ancestry get conflated, right? And we often think because this person doesn't look like a black Bahamian, they don't have any African ancestry or real links to this place.
Now, with Allen Glazier Mintz.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they gave the title, Allen Glazier Mintz is considered the first British black male. And they just say black now. Mm-hmm. Notice now, the reason why for so long it was another man who was considered the first black male, his surname was Archer. With no, I don't know if he had any relation to the Archers here. I don't think so. But with Allen Glazier Mintz, he was actually passing himself off as white because whiteness is really not real. What it really is white enough.
Yeah.
And then that white enough, that scale of being white enough changes based on geographical, political space.
Culture,
it also has a ton to do with your colonizer as well. So the British had a different racial gradation scale than the Portuguese. They had a different one than the French, and the Spanish had a different one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right? So race is mutable. It changes over time. Geography, culture, and ancestry is immutable, right? You could track your DNA back to the source.
Right. And now with Cerruti Burton, Cerruti Burton was one who would have gone away to the United States. And even if he wanted to be white, he would have never been considered white. There's actually a movie called, I think it's a Denzel movie. I'm a big Denzel Washington fan. I think it's called Woman in the Blue Dress.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all about a court case about a woman's racial background. This woman is phenotypically on the outside, almost completely white. And they found that, I think it was her great grandmother was black. And then based on America's one drop rule, you understand? And that one drop globalization, you know, based on all the negative things that come on with that as well, you know, this neoliberalism and all
look
that.
Look at sticker.
That racial thing has kind of inserted itself. And now today, black essentially means any person of clear and obvious African descent.
Right. So watch this and stick a pin, that one drop rule, American one drop rule. Isn't it ironic that ADOS, that movement, Africans... American descendants of slaves would adopt their own one-drop rule, right?
Right.
Right? And the irony, like, if you need any, that's a perfect picture to see what's dysfunctional about that conceptual space, is that you would adopt one of the most demeaning rules of your oppressors to define yourself. Right. And telling people that if you have one drop of DNA or blood that is not American from it, got here from Africa, you can't be a part of the group, to the point where they exclude Dr. Umar Johnson, who's supposed to be the foremost Pan-African advocate, an African-American advocate.
Yeah, he is.
Right? But I challenging you on that too, so you don't watch none. He could try to be. But my personal link to that is this. My uncle always tells us a story of our granduncle, and he went to go visit him in New York. Like, I got family, American and all over the place, right?
Right.
And he went for the first time, and my uncle is darker than my granduncle, right?
Right.
So the first time he went there and went to go to the block where he's hanging out with the boy them and thing, and they see him, and they're like, well, who this little boy is? He said, that's my nephew. So they say, what? That's your nephew? So he say, yeah, that's my nephew. So they say, well, that means, so hold on. You ain't white then. I mean, you black then.
Right.
Right? So he say, well, first off, what you thought I was? So they say, we thought you was Arabic, you know. Like, we real with you. We thought you was just Arabic boy, and everything was cool.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's why Black History Month is so important, because people don't want to be associated with being African. Black or being African. It actually points to something that's not acknowledged there in the Bahamas, which is our sinister racial history that is tied in with our colonialism, tied in with chattel slavery, tied in with the truck and credit system, tied into our modern history, and tied in to the state. You understand? So all of these things are interconnected, and you could go to, we all know the different places in the Bahamas that we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
We could go to certain islands, and we see all these people who identify as white. And now the term Conky Joe, as you mentioned, it was coined by the loyalists to insult
other Europeans
who are already here. Yeah. And a part of that insult was actually a part of it. It wasn't a big part of it, but a part of it was that all these people ain't even fully white, and they're around here pretending like they white.
Yeah.
And now when black Bahamians use it in a certain context, that's exactly what it means. Like, look at these Conky Joes. So what we're saying is, you know, so, and then people would love to say, you understand, that we have something what they call, what they learn in project management, a fishbowl mentality. You know, we live in a kind of fishbowl.
Yeah.
And that is especially true of race. So in terms of people identifying, like, you could say, you know, think about you only being white in the Bahamas and then going throughout the world. You understand? I actually had, when I was off in Canada, I had a very close white friend, my brethren, BD, and we used to talk about all sorts of things. He was a big history buff like me. You know, we used to talk about all these things. And there were well over 100, probably even 200 Bahamians who were there. Many of them were the quote-unquote white Bahamians. And all of us used to hang out together, and everything was cool, you know. But one day he just come to me and put me on the side, and he was like, he called their names. He's like, so-and-so white? Because I always thought they was black, you know. And then I just burst out laughing, and I explained this whole thing to him that we're talking about now, you understand? And again, it points to that racial history. Like, think about it. Why are people running away from their blackness?
Right. And you know, and for me, the question about Black History Month is, why did we change it from African American history to Black history? Because I feel that people are running away from their Africanness.
Right.
And the stylization of Black History Month now leans less towards African heritage and leans more towards racial culture.
Well, what we should be calling ourselves is African.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It leaves out all, and it deals with ethnicity. It doesn't deal with the race. It doesn't exist on this broad scale. You understand?
Yeah.
Once you are a person of African descent and you acknowledge and choose to identify with that, you know, you are a part of the African diaspora. You have nations like Brazil that received most of the victims of the transatlantic slavery, you know, that part of the Maafa. And when you look at Brazil and you talk to Brazilians and you look at the racial scale, like most of them don't identify as black, even though they have the most people of the African diaspora of any nation outside of Africa.
And I got a caller, caller coming right now, as in a heated discussion online comparing the perniciousness, like the badness, the nastiness of the two systems, right? The American versus the sort of Latin and Portuguese system. To this caller. Yeah. Caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller.
And your guest, how you doing?
Oh, good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Sparky here.
Morning.
Miss Green, you know what always amazed me about our beautiful black women? All my life, I always wondered why our black women try so hard to look white. They go through this thing called bleaching their skin. They destroy their hair by something they call pressing and burning and mashing and priming. And they're so ashamed of being black. They buy hair from Brazil, India, and everything called Remy and Weaved, that they got hair all the way down to their backsides and below their hip. We know the hair, it ain't theirs. And the funniest thing, women don't realize that men don't really like the falseness, you know. Mm-hmm. Men, if you listen to men talk on a bar or somewhere behind a woman's back, they really hate it. But they would not say it to a woman's face because they figure they're going to lose their little baby or their little boobs, because they feel like it's hurting their feelings. But behind their back, men don't like it. Mm-hmm. They don't like the false eyelashes. They don't like the 9 earrings in one ear and the ring in the tongue. They don't like these things. I wonder if the women are trying to outdress or outlook one another because they're not pleasing the men. They're not dressing up for the men. Well, why are you ashamed that your mother and father were black? They got together and they made a beautiful black baby girl. And all your life you spent trying to look like Mary Ann from the royal chair of England.
But I got the answer, Sparky. We know why, but it's a good point you make.
Yeah, it is a great point, you know. But see, we have to remember, and I appreciate Sparky always saying you calling the different shows, you know.
Yeah,
so you're talking to a fan of yours right here too, you know. But at the same time, when we all of these things that we speak about, these are the different manifestations of colonization, historical racism, and slavery. See, and to use a term that we love to throw around here, we like to use this crab in a bucket, crab in a barrel syndrome. And then we like to blame those same crabs who are in a bucket for what's going on, even though crabs don't live in buckets.
That's not their natural habitat.
Thank you very much. So what we are is outside our natural habitat. Furthermore, we have people who have made concerted efforts for centuries. You know, we used to get executed in certain places just for practicing our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, certain aspects of African culture to this day are illegal in the Bahamian statutes to this day.
And in fact, it wasn't until the 40s that the last Caribbean country removed from its logs that you could shoot a dreadlock person on sight.
Exactly.
And so you could understand, even as a person who wore locks and who resonate, even though I wouldn't be as bold to say that I was a Rastafarian,
right?
I could understand why parents would beat their children half to death because they know if you go out the house with these locks, they will kill you.
And so it's something that's a serious example there, but so it's something even more at home with this.
Yeah.
You understand? They probably grow up in households, you know, we have terms that are a part of our common vernacular, your picky head.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
In fact,
and younger men nowadays, while I agree that me, myself, I love a natural woman, I'm sure you do, Sparky, and I'm sure a lot of more seasoned men do as well. But nowadays, that's not the standard of beauty that's being set. The standard of beauty that's being set, and if you look at the role models, the women, the black women who get the most airtime, who get the most airwaves, you know, they're talking about WAP. You understand? And I'm not trying to be Mr. Goody Two-Shoes saying that women shouldn't express their sexuality, but
that shouldn't
the
be
balance?
The, right, and that shouldn't be the primary expression of African and feminine sexuality.
Right.
Hold on, we got to stick a pin.
Yeah.
Because look here. Hold on, I got two callers on the line.
Right.
Callers, first caller, you're on the clock.
Good day to you and the West, along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, thank God.
Bless.
I have a question.
Yes,
but first I want to say this, Sparky. Some men tell the woman that you know, what they're doing not beautiful. But what my question, especially to you and the brother, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Now, white and colored people came from way back, from Abraham. Okay? Roughly 6,000 years ago, some of the white people came out of the mountain, right?
The Caucasus Mountains.
Say it again?
The Caucasus Mountains. That's why they call them Caucasian.
Right. So, my question...
But hold on. I just need you to know, those people come out of the Caucasus Mountain, they look like they're from Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could look at them now. They still, you know, areas like Chechnya and...
Yeah. Go on, caller.
Yeah. So why is that? Why is it that people narrowing it down whereby saying white is those people and black is the other people when all came from Abraham? Please explain that situation to me. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yes, sir. So that's essentially what we were actually alluding to in the beginning. You know, what we identify as race, you know, black, white, those are actually social constructs made up by man, and they don't have any scientific background into it. You understand? It's all pretty much to do with external qualities.
Right,
and
the amount of melanin in your skin. That's it.
It's no real biological foundation. Now, if you take it from a scientific standpoint, and this is one of the few areas where science and religion kind of merges together, because religion tells you that it's one source for all humanity. You know, whether you look at the Bible, the Quran, many other ones. Most religions do, actually.
Yeah.
And so the science tell you that nowadays. You have someone named Mitochondria Eve. And as you mentioned, all of these people came out of Africa. You know, we're talking about Homo sapien history. You understand? The history of us as human beings.
Or let's rephrase that. They came out of the space, right? That we now call Africa.
Africa, right. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You understand? And of course, these would have been the people that we in the 21st century terminology call black. So even when we speak in now, we can use terms like black and white because that's the common vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And of course, even though we do admit that these things are social constructs, we have to be careful as not to use it as a form of vindication for those that not only set up these systems, have historically benefited from these systems, and continue to benefit from these systems. So just because race, of course, is a social construct, it don't mean that me being black does not affect me in every way, shape, or
all right.
form.
Well, look here, I got it. We're gonna delve into this text in a minute, but yeah. Caller, you're on the clock.
How y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I go on to be brief then on the clock.
Yes, sir.
Before Christianity became established, this existing religion of Mizraim, Egypt, had roots reaching back millennia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. After the golden age of Ramses II and his successes ended, Mizraim, Egypt underwent invasions by Libyans,
Hyksos,
Nubians, Assyrians, the Persians, the Greeks, and Rome, and the Romans.
Yeah.
Even so, Mizraim, Egypt, old religion proved remarkable during, particularly due to its ability to absorb other influences.
Yep.
Rival to Mizraim, Egypt, the Nubian kingdom, Kush, you know, the point I'm making here is I see myself not only as an African, but also spiritually as a Hebrew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, that's another
Hebrew.
Intersection of identity.
Uh-huh. I need to continue living from the roots up. Okay?
Right.
And the facts of the matter, yet the tree only as strong as its roots.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I speak, I don't speak with fear, because the first man or color to walk the planet Earth look like me, I speak then with ownership, ability, and authority.
Sir.
If you comprehend what I'm saying here.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so my race, our race, over time have absorbed all type of different influences.
Yep.
But our matriarchs, and our patriarchs left us with these words: lift up your head to the rising sun, Bahamalan. Good day, everybody.
Thank you. And they left you with their DNA, right? Like your ancestors are your roots, and it's in the blood, right?
Yeah.
And that's why, you see, when you look at Christianity and you look at other African practice spiritualities, right, there are these things that resonate because they're the same. Because your DNA is in your blood.
Right.
That's why your blood is so important. Okay, look here, we're going to get to that text. Yeah. But I got some more callers. Caller, you on the clock.
Morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, Christopher Davis.
Morning.
It's always a pleasure to hear you, brother. I told you all, I like to listen, you see.
Yes,
respect.
All right. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Respect. Mr. Davis.
Yes, sir.
You know, I agree with you. I just love to hear you talk. Bringing it on a real integral part of the historical genealogy was that Abraham is the father of all nations, the Arab, the Muslim, and the Jew, right?
Right.
And so people have to realize the difference between a Hebrew and a Jew. So Abraham is from Ur, which is Chaldea, which would be Iran, I guess, or Iraq somewhere, and then it'll be, that means he was a Hebrew.
Right.
He was a Semitic tribe. And so also we must bear in mind that the San Bushman, I know you heard about the San Bushman from South Africa, right?
I don't even like to call them Bushman. That's what the Europeans call
them.
Yeah,
we know that. And we also know that they deal with the segregation with the religion. That's why I like to hear you talk. But the reason why I said that is their DNA is unadulterated.
Yeah.
No Neanderthal, no mixtures of no other races. So we know the DNA symposium shows that they came out of Africa.
Yep.
Now, they have hidden the origins and the history of the black Nubian pharaohs, right? So also the god concepts of Africa and Egypt. And so they call it Egyptology because they wanted to control and decipher what was coming out of Africa. So this is now why, of course, the historical part of it, we have our black sisters. But I see them being Afrocentric, right, Aaron?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just comment them and let them know that I love it. And even if I know them or not. But we have to move on as a people, Mr. Davis. You have to find a platform for debates. And like in first world countries, and enlighten our people, because everything is being done on the basis of conformity.
Yeah.
All right? So I was doing a little reading the other day, and I just want you to clear this up for me, because you know how Marek, Havilah, Jebus, all those are black people. They don't know that Jerusalem is named after Jebus, right?
Right.
What I want you to clear up for me, Christopher, in a quick second, is I was confounded by the Hittites, who I know is of Afro-Asiatic origin, and also the Hamites. And so some people was given this hypothesis that these people are not black. Just straighten up for me, please. All right.
Well, see, now when you're dealing with the Hamites, now this is where I disagree with a lot of people. Because when you look at, this is more so our modern history, this is in our recent history. And this is why I'm usually reluctant to talk about the Hamites thing, because the way that Europeans use it and turn it against us has been something that's been one of the most damaging pieces of propaganda in human history, in my opinion, it is. And that is what they call the curse of Ham, which was put in much later by non-Africans, the people that you refer to from outside of Africa, and it wasn't even put in essentially with the initial intent of demonizing black people. It was just their religious and spiritual way of deciphering the story in connection with the melting of the ice caps that a lot of different cultures have, talking about great floods. Now, when you look at the word Semite, okay, because, and this is what I love too, you notice that you have a lot of, even like with Nick Cannon the other day, the Hebrew Israelites, that people like to call the black Hebrew Israelites, big group here right now, shout out to them too. You know, we always going at it, but you know, we agree on a lot of things too, right? Now, when you look at them, first of all, it's a beautiful way that they interpret the story of the quote-unquote Jews being taken into captivity, and the way that they marry it with our historical experience in transatlantic slavery, okay? But these are some of the groups. People like Nick Cannon, too, are often called, anti-Semitic, anti-Semites, right? But when you really look deeper into it, what do the people that we call or are known to be Jews today, the people that control, let's not blanket all Jews. I'm talking about the political movement of Zionism.
Yes.
Specifically.
And
the propaganda of saying we alone are the one true descendant of people of God, and all the rest of y'all is Gentiles. We belong in Israel. This is our land.
Yeah.
Even though the Germans do it to us, we could take it from Palestine. But that's another story.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And we now, say that with sensitivity, right?
To get to 52 thing. So Semite is actually a linguistic term. Mm. Any professor, any honest professor in Judaism, any honest rabbi, any man with a doctorate in theology will tell you that. Semite is a linguistic term. It ain't have nothing to do with race. It ain't have nothing to do with descent. Now, when you look at the definition of Semitic languages, you could look at Semitic languages, look at where they're spoken. The vast majority of them are spoken in Africa. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, I may have a slightly different interpretation of the Hamite thing, because I personally do not resign to that, because it is attached to the story of Noah as well.
Okay.
You understand? And through the lens of the story of Noah, I am expected to believe that one man had three different children or three different races with the same woman. And of course, just because that one man coming there,
but you know, it's possible.
Naked,
hold on, it's possible.
He cursed all them for
it's possible if she's an African woman,
right? Yeah,
because all
it is possible.
Iterations
but
come
it is
out.
It is used as a form of vindication to say, oh well, these people just cursed. That's what's wrong.
Yeah,
and you see the same thing with Haiti. Haiti just cursed. That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing with wrong. You had these people who had a concerted effort against us that still continues today, but in more subtle ways.
Yeah,
known
absolutely.
As neocolonialism, neoliberalism,
so,
whatever.
Look here, 52. I got to stick a pin. But I'm going to organize a show. I got to get Brother Anku on and Brother Davies on.
Together,
and I can find, I know I got a sort of what we call traditional Christian brethren to examine insanity in Africa. Because in this context, it almost feels like you can't be a Bahamian and be a Christian and be an African at the same time.
That's
right. The callers, listen, I got to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to entertain your questions quickly. And I got a text here that Mr. Davies and I got to talk about before we end the show.
For sure.
You've been listening to On the Clock.
If you are 65 or older, it is important for you to get immunized. Immunizations are not just for children. As you age, you are more at risk for illnesses like pneumonia. The pneumococcal vaccine protects against certain pneumonias and boosts your immunity. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Let's prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Me, Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, and you're listening to On the Clock with Erin Green. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. And we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line 422-GR96 and 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Call us at 323-6232, 325-4316 and 326-4259. So I'm sorry, callers, that you had to go. I'm going to find somebody to sponsor like a phone card a week, right? Phone card a week, because I appreciate you. Sometimes these guests are just so full of knowledge, and sometimes the concepts that they're trying to express require more than 10 words, 15 words, right? And we understand that. So let me read this thing. Since we active, there's a local promotion. Right. Get active. Get up, get out, and get active. Four platforms to enter. Over 40 winners will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to guardiantalkradio.com. Get on the Get Active link. Click on the Get Active link. Download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry, and you can win. Promotion ends February 26th. Look here, it's a good time. It's cold. The best way to stay warm is to get active.
Right.
So look here, we got a caller. Dead quick, let's get this caller before we close out the show. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Good morning. I am good, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm so excited to hear this type of conversation and this
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I consider myself to be a Nilist from the Nile Valley.
Yeah, man. Hey, so, that's wonderful.
Abyssinia, Nubia,
yes, sir.
Kemet.
Yes, sir.
We all come from those people.
Mm-hmm.
African history, Black History Month, to say, is not only about America, it's about the whole diaspora and the African continent.
Yes, sir.
Coming going back centuries, you know.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, but I want to say one thing before I go, because I know your time is short. The African spirituality, I think, was long before the Abrahamic.
Yes, it was.
Islam and Christianity, I think.
Yeah, it was.
So African spirituality is the oldest thing connecting us to a creator.
Right.
So when I hear people saying about 6,000 years ago, the first humans were on the earth. No, we were an African civilization for hundreds of thousands of years before any Abraham or any Isaac. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I like I said, shout out to your conversation.
Yes, sir.
Timely, man. Thank you.
I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Sir.
Listen.
But just to add to that, you know, just to put a little timeline on something, I can just point to two artifacts. Both of them are quite similar, actually. One is known as the Ishango Bone. The Ishango Bone, when it's carbon dated, is at least 12,000 years, present-day Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, the Great Lakes region, okay? And that's further south than the Nile Valley. Then you also have the Lubombo Bone, which is at least, dates back to at least 20,000 BC. These are some of the first incidences of known human rational thought. What they actually are is they are kind of calculators. They are baboon femurs with different like multiplication notches on it and gold on the bottom and quartz on the top. So you could even see the aesthetics behind it. So when you're getting deep into the earliest sections of human history, and this is something that's true to us today, people can only excel as a community, as a society, as a diaspora, if you will.
As a collective,
when they are no longer in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we take for granted that happened in Africa, a lot of which that was done by African women, things like husbandry, domesticating animals, growing wheat, being able to farm, things that we take completely for granted. And another thing, I always hear people talking foolishness, but prostitution being the oldest profession in the world, that might be the oldest profession in Europe, but in Africa, the oldest profession in the world is midwifery. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Look here. When you are centered, you change your perspective. So look here, we only got a few minutes left, and I got to read these texts, right?
Right.
First one, Ms. Green, thanks for the show today, bringing the info about our African heritage and identity. We are not more than a color. No, we are more than
a color,
right? Yeah. And we are more than the constructs that were created to define and oppress us, but more importantly. Thank you for that text. Morning, Ms. Green. I don't believe all people come out of Africa, just like how certain animals are only found certain places. I believe mankind is the same. I believe that where the highest population of races is where they originated, not people change physically after leaving Africa. So let me just say that I know...
Just two words.
Yeah.
Mitochondria, DNA.
Yeah, like the science, but also the plates, like the geography of it, all of these things we call continent used to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And Africa is a word that was created by, I think, Europeans to define a space that they wanted to control.
Well, it's many different. I like to prefer it as Alkabulan because that is the most ancient known authentically African one. There's several different, because the Greeks is the ones who were credited for the word Africa.
Right.
However, I actually learned this from my big brother, Anku. And he was telling me that it don't come from Scipio Africanus or any of these letters. Eka, which was a Kemetic word.
Okay.
I think he said it meant something like land of the blocks, something simple like that.
Let me go on, because I can have you back if the government let you. Come. Christian God concepts are idols were stolen from Alkubiland or Africa as most
there you
know
go.
It.
There you go.
52 says so.
Yeah,
see,
there
you go. That's what,
me
look here.
52, hey, me and 52, we need the palm, man. You know,
greetings, Aaron. Great show as always. Yeah. That's for you, Davies. I just want to know when we children of the Yorubas can freely practice Ifa Orisha worship in the Bahamas.
Hold on, I need to say something to that.
That is native from our homes in Nigeria, Benin, and Congo. Why are we being blocked from honoring the religion of our ancestors, being persecuted while
the goosebumps.
standard as a foreign religion. How can we change legislation about supernatural religion? Well, let me just, before Davis answers, let me give you a clue. The vast majority of people in the House right now have no idea what the laws around the practice of religion and spirituality say. So you start by getting a legal team. Let's find my brethren, Alex Morley. Just because he's a Pan-African and leader of the African People's Socialist Party. And let's begin coordinating from there. Mr. Davis, because I got 2 minutes left.
Alex Morley is my chairman. I'm also a member of the African People's Socialist Party. With the chairman, chairman O'Malley Yeshitela.
Yeah, I'm not a member because I don't like to pay dues, right?
To get on to that. Now, the biggest ethnic group, if you had to point to one that came out of Africa, which there are many, are the Yoruba people. Right? Now, I don't have time to get so deep into it, but this is what I was referring to when I said that West African religion remains illegal in the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
And it's blanketed under the word Obia, and also blanketed under the word voodoo.
But you don't watch nothing because I'm going to go make me some bay leaf and Saracen tea with oregano because you make your bush tea in odd numbers. Right. And if you think you could lock me up for that, trust me, you can't.
Now, you right here talking all this foolishness now. Aaron Green, 60 years ago, you would have been locked up for talking.
That's what I'm saying.
Law actually says that it's illegal even for restoring a person to health.
Listen, I'm sorry if I didn't read your text, particularly the text we wanted to interrogate about how Africa is filled with white people and black people. Those Arabics are African descent people. They were black people. They move
before
up
they
and
leave and then they came back.
Yes.
For that text, you need to look up the wars of the Maghreb, of which over 50 million Africans. You have a queen, a Berber queen named Queen Daya, who fought these wars against these Arabs who came and conquered North Africa, similarly to how Europeans conquered North America.
All right, look here. So I got to get my brethren back on for another show. But why the show is important, right, is because we need to know who we are and we need to know how our culture becomes what it is so we could understand ourselves and where we're going in the future. And anybody who thinks they're going to be a policymaker, right, has to understand that. Thanks for tuning in, Bahamas. Have a great day. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green and my special guest, not doctor yet, but my brethren, Christopher Davies, historical interpreter at Pompeii Museum. Have a great day, Bahamas, and thank you for tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Lee Van Miller is on next with Unleashed.